Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with spring break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players start playing with just $5 and get 100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code COLLEGEDRAFT to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Ross Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it's Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast. We are presented, of course, by DraftKings. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. Most of you guys know that. Five teams over the course of 7 years. It was cool. It was a long time ago now, 15 years ago when I retired. But the key is it helped me get all these media gigs and these podcasts. I mean, even after I did the Ravens-Cardinals game last night, I went back to the hotel. I worked out. And I did the Ross Tucker football podcast from the Arizona hotel, I don't know, like 6 hours ago, maybe. I lost track, whatever it was. And then I took the red eye, got back to my house, and I am ready to talk college football and the NFL draft and betting on college football with my guy, Emory Hunt, who you should all follow on social media like I do, at FBallGamePlan on Twitter. I personally am at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. We are at Ross Tucker Pod, which I highly recommend you follow because that's the way you get the clips of all the shows, what we think are the best clips from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast or Fantasy Feast or Even Money Betting Podcast or whatever. And if you're not following Emory on YouTube, you're probably doing it wrong. I guess it's not following. You should be subscribed to Emory's YouTube page. It is fantastic. Then, of course, footballgameplan.com/2024 draft guide. Emory, I like that. I like the script Cajuns there, man.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the Cajuns out there getting a nice win on the road against South Alabama. And this was actually designed by our late, great equipment manager, Lynn Williams, who was one of the greatest dudes you ever meet. Big Lynn, he was called, and Lynn was like hilarious. Lynn always had a story for you, had snacks for you, had jokes for you. Lynn was a big help to me, and it was a big help to a lot of players. And he was the one that actually designed this logo. And, you know, it was one of the reasons why I went to UL, because the helmets looked cool. It was like the Script Cajuns logo. Then I get there freshman year, and we changed it to what we have in the background now with the regular Raging Cajun. I was like, why would they change the doggone uniform? That's the one I wanted to wear. But I'm glad they're showing love to Lynn by implementing this into the whole alternate uniforms and things like that. So shout out to Big Lynn and his family. Great family. Shout out to my Cajuns. You know what I'm saying? Even though we're not undefeated in Sun Belt Conference play, you'll always be undefeated in my hearts.
Well, a few thoughts come to my head. Number one, the Script Cajuns is awesome, and that is like the Oilers throwbacks or the Seahawks throwbacks. Like, we're realizing for a lot of, like, actually what it used to be like was better, like looked better. Right. It's like what goes out of style comes back into style, and so we're noticing that. Like, so many of these throwbacks are just amazing. The Creamsicles, the Eagles, Kelly Green, just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So that's kind of funny to me. And then, you know what's funny, Emery? Our equipment guy, Hank Towns at Princeton, he was so stingy. He wouldn't give anybody anything. And when we were convinced that he was selling the socks and the shorts and stuff he was supposed to be giving us on like the black market and making money. And you know what? We all love the guy. Absolutely love the guy. I don't know. What is it about equipment managers that even if they're not like, giving you the stuff that you want, we still love them all?
Because they're there with you every day. They're part of the team. They constantly, throw shots in. Y'all throw shots back. And it's cool because they are, I think equipment managers are essentially the voice of reason on the team. And so they kind of let you know where you stand. And they always keep it 100 with you. And Big Lynn was like that for us, man. He was always a buck. You know what I'm saying? Like, you come in there, try to complain. And then like, man, you're just not fast enough yet. Like, he'll say some stuff. But it was always a battle. Like, Lynn, I have like a golf ball size hole in my gloves. Like, well, you should catch the ball better and you'll get new gloves. Like,
so funny. So true. I think, Emery, this might be the first week where you had more losses than wins on your bets. I'm trying to think. There was one week where I wrote down your bets incorrectly. One was a push that I said was a win. One I just totally got wrong. So that week might have been the same. But the only one that hit for you was UNLV plus 8.5 at Fresno State. The Rebels were winning that game. I went to bed. Man, it was a late game when I was in Phoenix, and I still went to bed before that game was over. I think that game didn't start till like 10 o'clock Phoenix time, and I went to bed. But they were able to cover. You were not able to cover on Georgia State and Georgia Southern. You had Georgia State plus 1.5. Georgia Southern kind of took them to the woodshed, didn't they?
Yeah, they beat the brakes off of them.
And then Georgia, Florida, you liked the under. Florida could not stop Georgia. I mean, that was really surprising to see Florida come out, go right down the field for a touchdown. I thought, okay, all right, we got a game. This is going to be good. No Brock Bowers. Florida scored a touchdown. I mean, then Georgia just took them to the woodshed, like we just said. That was surprising to me. I thought Florida was ready to really give them a game.
That was a slow chokeout, man, like where Georgia just slowly started to build a lead. Even when they were up like 10 or whatever, it was like, yeah, they're not coming back, man. There's no way Florida's going to mount any type of consistent offense against this defense and how well they're playing. That was the best game I thought Carson Beck played all season long. So it was just a slow chokeout. They couldn't stop Georgia. And all facets of Georgia's offense was having success that day. So it was just a bad game all around for Florida.
He's good. I think Carson Beck is legitimately good. And we'll be talking about him. I'm assuming, I guess, that he'll come back to school next year.
Yeah, he'll probably come back. Yeah.
And I think going back to school next year, we'll be talking a lot about him going into next year as a pro prospect, as a Heisman candidate, all those things, especially if Georgia keeps winning, goes to the college football playoff and all that stuff. What about UCLA? You had Colorado getting the 17, I believe. Or no, did you lay the 17 with UCLA?
I don't remember. 17 with UCLA.
And it's laid it.
Because here's the thing. I laid it on with UCLA here on Monday. And then Friday, I was on CBS Sports Network's HQ Spotlight. And the line moved to 17.5. And I took Colorado in the points because I didn't like the hook. So early in the week, and that's why it's unique to do these early leans and lines early in the week, because it does move throughout the week. But on that show, I was like, you know what? Give me Colorado in the points. I don't like the hook. So on that situation, I look right. But here, where I laid the 17 points, I was wrong, because Colorado's defense actually played a solid game. It was just that, once again, their offensive line. I don't know how you fix this situation where you can go out and get and recruit, but man, like Do you trust the OC to not go empty 98% of the time? Do you trust the OC to not run the ball? You know, do you trust them to so if I'm Shedeur Sanders, I'm bouncing after this year. I'm going to the league. Why would I come back to, you know, get sacked five times a game and take 8 hits a game? Like, I don't understand how you fix this quickly. But shout out to UCLA. The Twins had a great game. Latu had a great game. It's hard not to have a great game against this offensive line, but I thought UCLA showed good balance and, you know, good resolve after the turnover. Steele has to hold a foot. I like Steele as a running back, but he has to protect that football because it kept popping out on some big hits.
He is a big, strong kid. It's just funny to see him at UCLA now after I called a couple of his games at Ball State. Those uniforms were sweet, too, those UCLA unis.
The Gary Beavens? Yeah, I liked them, man. It was actually dope. Listen, we have to realize sometimes we had it right, like we talked about in the open, just running with the theme here with the throwbacks. Those throwbacks were awesome. Oregon's throwbacks, you know, are awesome. The yellow with a Daffy Duck on the helmet, all, you know, saying the Donald Duck on the, all that. That's good uniforms. We had it right. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know when, maybe early 2000s when things start to get crazy with the uniform changes in college and in the NFL. But man, the classics are always, and now with HD television and 4K cameras, it adds a little bit more sharpness and crispness to these classic uniforms. They look even better now than they did back then.
Moving on to this week, Emery, there's a bunch of good games, including, I'm looking forward to the game I'll be at. I'll be calling it for CBS noon on Saturday. It's Ohio State at Rutgers. Ohio State has a bunch of prospects. Obviously, you might have heard of Marvin Harrison Jr., but just watching them the other night, man, Emery, makes a big difference getting Travion Henderson back in that backfield. He that guy has a legit burst.
Reminds me a lot of Doug Martin too, man. Like in how he runs, you know, you know, you expect this super game breaker, but he's consistent. I think he's a good RB2 at the pro level, or he could be the lead guy for a predominantly passing offense because he doesn't need volume to be successful. And he can catch the ball in the backfield. But I just think he's more of that Doug Martin role, which is not bad. Doug Martin had a lot of success in the NFL. So I'm excited to see him back out there and doing his thing. Because remember, he had that super spark as a freshman. I think he's going to be fine moving forward.
So Rutgers is 6-2. They're bowl eligible. They're coming off a bye. People are excited about this game. I mean, I'm seeing the cheapest tickets, $50. The best deal, $73 on the Game Time app, which is the only app I would ever recommend to have on your phone for tickets. They got exclusive flash deals. You're looking to go to any game or any concert, man, just pull up the Game Time app. With their guarantee, you'll always get the best price. In fact, if you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DRAFT for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply, so again, create an account and redeem code DRAFT for $20 off. Download Game Time today, last-minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, Emery. Let's get some guarantees from you in terms of these spreads this week. I'm kidding. There are no guarantees. But we got a good one. Texas took care of business against BYU. Now they are hosting Kansas State. Texas favored by 5 points. And two good prospects that I wanted you to talk about. I'm glad you're talking about both these guys. Let's start with Kansas State offensive lineman Cooper Beebe.
He might be the best interior lineman, I think, in the country with how well he plays. You know, and it's we joke about this all throughout the draft process, Ross, where we say sight unseen. Give me these guys. K-State offensive linemen, Utah defensive players, Ohio State receivers, you know, just sight unseen, right? Like, oh, this is where he's from? Cool, I'm in. I'm all in. Let's go. But Beebe is fantastic up front, and that's going to be a big key for Kansas State in this game because Texas's defensive line is very doggone good, and there's a couple of pro prospects up there. So how they handle up front and the interior is going to be key, and Beebe is going to have another chance to have a spotlight performance against the Longhorns. And on the other side, although he's not draft eligible, but Malik Murphy played well in his first start in his collegiate career against BYU. And everyone was thinking it was going to be Arch Manning. But if you go back and watch the spring game, you realize Murphy really outplayed Arch Manning there because he was able to push the ball deep down the field, was able to live at the intermediate level of the field, has a really strong arm. And I like the fact that he stayed at Texas, knowing they brought in Quinn Ewers, knowing they brought in Arch Manning. And he was like, you know, I'm going to just get better. And when my opportunity presents itself, I'm going to go out there and showcase. So now if he plays well in back-to-back games for next year as a redshirt sophomore, he puts himself on that NFL draft radar as a guy to keep an eye on. That could be an early entry, whether he stays at Texas, you know, next year or if he goes transfer somewhere else. But because of how he's playing now, makes it an intriguing guy to keep an eye on moving forward.
Yeah, I didn't know, or I don't even know how long Ewers is out. Do you know?
They say a couple of games, so multiple games. So we know that could be three, could be five, right? So either way, Murphy has a chance to really make some noise in a Cardale Jones kind of sense, right? Where you can come in and really take the bull by the horns and lead this team into the playoffs.
All right, Texas is laying 5, Emery. What are you doing here?
I'm going to lay the 5 with Texas. I trust their defense. I think their defense will, you know, be the reason why they win the game. They're going to get complimentary football from their offense. They can run the ball rather well. I know that's going to be a struggle a little bit against K-State, who's very good defensively always. I feel like Texas's defense will be a big reason why they win this one. They'll slow down K-State's offense enough to where they can cover.
Jacksonville State at South Carolina. We talked about this a little bit last week, Emery, and actually, you know, I was on social media. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Emery's at F-Ball Game Plan talking with JMU grad PFT commenter and Andy Staples about the fact that Jacksonville State and JMU are not available for the playoff or for a bowl game, I should say. I just don't get it, especially in year two. I don't get it. I mean, maybe 1 year, I can see some argument there, but the second year makes no sense to me. Jacksonville State's at South Carolina. The spread is South Carolina, who's having a rough year, Emery. I kind of thought after the way they ended last year with some of those big wins, I was expecting more from the Gamecocks this year. They're struggling. They're laying 14 at home against Jack State.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough game for South Carolina because I did the Jacksonville State FIU game on Wednesday night. So I got to see field level how athletic and explosive Jacksonville State is on defense because this game is a cockfight in Columbia, South Carolina this weekend, right? You got two Gamecock squads going out on the field. But you talk about Kobe Fuqua, the safety from Jacksonville State, probably one of the smartest, more instinctive defensive players in the draft class that no one's talking about. I mean, he plays down in the alley rather well. He can blitz rather well. He can get to the quarterback. He can play the ball in the short to intermediate zone area. He drives on the ball rather well. He has the long length that you look for. He's about 6'2", about 200 pounds, and he's a fantastic football player. I think that's a difference for Jacksonville State. And their offense does a tempo thing. You know, Zion Webb is a very good dual threat. Their offensive line is in tune with how they go fast, so they are really locked in. They do a good job in attacking angles. Their zone blocking scheme is great. This is a sneaky game for South Carolina, because even though Xavier Leggett is the big-time receiver for the Gamecocks, he should have an opportunity to get deep down the field with Spencer Rattler throwing the ball deep down the field. And, you know, but I worry about the offensive line of South Carolina. This defense is very active and aggressive. They have the upset factor hanging in hanging over them, because we know Jacksonville State would come ready to play. I'm going to take the Gamecocks plus 14. Jacksonville State's Gamecocks plus 14 in this one to keep this one close and keep more pressure on the NCAA to let these dudes play in a bowl game.
I think I like Jacksonville State getting the points there as well. I thought you were just going to say, I'm going to take the Gamecocks and not say whether you're going plus 14 or minus 14. Just go with the Gamecocks. Let's get to Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. Interesting one. Oklahoma State's kind of been under the radar, and Oklahoma coming off that loss. I'm curious, you know, people are talking about Dillon Gabriel for Heisman. They don't get it done against Kansas. What kind of pro prospect is he, Emery?
Ross, you know, anything I say is not necessarily is not a knock on a player. It's because I how much I value the other football leagues. But he's an ideal CFL guy, right? You know, he plays that spread open, you know, game type game. I think he's had a fantastic start to the season. Fans are super critical of Dillon Gabriel, but I like the way he plays. He's kind of like Mason Fine and what he was at North Texas. You know, and Mason Fine is having some success for Saskatchewan this year. I just feel like, you know, Gabriel's game is tailor-made for a wide-open type of attack. And we know the NFL is a little bit hesitant to really go all in on what the CFL has been doing for decades. Even in one of these spring leagues, whatever the merger is between the XFL, USFL, Gabriel is the type of guy that can go in there, step in and be a star. So I like Gabriel, the talent. I like how he plays. Sometimes he's a little bit more, he drives the ball a little bit too much, needs to develop a little bit more touch, can't flatline everything. And that's where he gets into trouble. But I think he's a fantastic quarterback, and it's going to make this game interesting, because on the other side, the back that nobody's talking about, and again, he's a true sophomore, is Ollie Gordon. Like, my goodness, this dude was great last year as a freshman, and he's great now. I want to see his average. He has back-to-back 200-something yard games and 7 yards a carry. So Gordon is a fantastic tailback, tremendous talent. Next year, we'll be talking about him for the Doak Walker Award and potentially a Heisman, Dark Horse Heisman candidate. But he's going to give Oklahoma State a real chance in this ballgame. And because they're playing well and flying under the radar, I'm going to take OSU plus the points here.
OSU getting 6 points. The game is being played at Oklahoma State in Stillwater. You know, Emery, at some point soon, the clock's going to stop on this podcast. And whenever that game clock stops for any games you're watching, that's time to order in with DoorDash. Pizza cravings hit at halftime? That's ordering time. Dreaming about tacos during a timeout? Boom. They're on your doorstep. Wait, you want burgers, chips, dips, drinks, and wings instead? Even better. Order on DoorDash and get everything you want delivered without missing a minute of the game. While I'm at it, Emery, you already know this, but in football, the fourth quarter is where the magic happens. It's where games are won, where champions are made. We're in the fourth quarter of this podcast. And in business, it's where sales teams become legends. That's why HubSpot built Sales Hub, to give sales reps the deal-making tools they need to win their Q4. Sales Hub's prospecting workspace organizes your schedule, goals, and to-do list in one place to save your team precious fourth quarter time. And smart sequences help sales reps close deals faster than ever. So get ready to dominate Q4 with Sales Hub. Learn more at HubSpot.com/sales. All right. Last but not least, Emery, LSU, Bama. Bama's laying 3.5.
take LSU in the points, man. LSU's offense is too explosive. I think they'll beat Alabama outright. So not only take LSU in the points, if you want to put them on a money line in the parlay or just take them as a money line as a individual game, do it, because I'm all in on LSU's offense. Defensively, they'll find some plays. But offensively speaking, what Jaden Daniels is doing is phenomenal. And Malik Nabers is the best receiver that no one is talking enough about, because every week it feels like all draft scouts and draft analysts are watching Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, we get it. He's good. Move on. Find somebody else to talk about. And then for like a game or two, it was Keon Coleman. Then it's back to Marvin Harrison Jr. Malik Nabers is putting up Ja'Marr Chase-type efforts out there on the field. He's explosive. He's dynamic with the ball in his hands. Great set of hands, too. I think he has as good of hands as Brandon Lloyd did when he was out there balling, both in college and in the NFL. Lloyd had some stickums out there. So Nabers is just like that. On the other side, Chris Braswell, defensive end for Alabama, is a good pass rusher. Maybe not of the caliber that we used to see from Alabama, like, you know, the Andersons or, you know, those guys. Like, you know, he's someone that definitely can get it done and has gotten it done. And with LSU's offensive line, especially on the right side, you know, they have to break in a true freshman out there. I think that's going to be the matchup Alabama is going to exploit. The over would be good to play in this ballgame, whatever that number is, because of Alabama's ability to get pressure and, you know, having a matchup to exploit. Milroe's a good quarterback to really pop off a big play or two. But I just think LSU has too much firepower, too much explosiveness, and already has that character that, hey, we beat these dudes last year in a high scoring game. We could beat them again with a lesser team. I think LSU gets the ball rolling early, and I think they take care of business against Alabama.
And I think Braswell is good. He's kind of gone under the radar because he's gotten overshadowed by Will Anderson, overshadowed now by Dallas Turner. All that guy does is produce. He is a good football player. Emery, Halloween tomorrow, what's your favorite, like, candy bar?
Oh, it's funny you say that, Ross, because I'm going to be that guy in the neighborhood. The big full boxes of candy I'm giving the kids. We don't get a lot of kids here at the crib, but when they do come, they're getting full candy bars. Because right here, this boy right here, the Snicker, is like the Alabama of candies. This is what you go to, guys. This is the best candy bar ever invented.
Yeah, other than Take Five, which you've clearly never had before. We'll have to ship you some. Talked about that on social media and with Jack last week. Other than that, good stuff there. The keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for tuning in to College Draft. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and Fantasy Feast, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.